liturgy that goes along with that. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Luke 1, verses 26 through 33. Couples today have adopted elaborate ways of announcing that they're expecting a child. There seems to be great joy when a young couple gathers potential grandparents, aunts, uncles, and so forth, and shares the news that a new member of the family is on the way. We throw parties, have dinners, light up Facebook with the news. But not many of us have had an actual angel deliver the news that a child is on the way. And only one young woman was asked to become the mother of the Messiah. Today, Mary remembers that moment when Gabriel announces that she, of all women, had been chosen to become the Theotokos, or God-bearer. We honor the faith of a young woman who said yes to her God. May her response be our response. Please join me in our congregational response. Come, Lord Jesus, give us courage to say yes to you when you call our name. May our faith be strong enough to overcome our fears and doubts, so that we may proclaim the good news of your coming into the world. Amen. Today we light the first candle of Advent in the hope of the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. We light the second candle of Advent for the love given at the crucifixion of our Savior. We light the rose candle of Advent for the joy of Mary, the mother of Jesus. We light the remaining purple candle of Advent for the faith of a young woman who was willing to be a vessel of grace. Thank you.
Amen. Let's stand and join together in singing hymn number 234, O Come All Ye Faithful. And we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 6.
Come, let And as we continue standing, will you join me in the Apostles' Creed, which can be found on page 881 in your hymnal or on the screens in front of you. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I ask you to join with me in a Christmas prayer that can be found in your bulletin as well as on the screens. God, you are mighty in love. Lifted up the lowly.
Filled the hungry with good things.
You have helped us.
And showed us what mercy looks like.
Mercy has gathered bone and sinew.
Love has taken on flesh.
Saving us from heartless wandering.
And merciless suffering.
Love's ambassador showed up and invited us.
Into your
earthly enclaves of loving kindness. The work begins within us. And blossoms outward to other people. Blanketing the world.
Each
we have only to wait a bit now. The day is coming. And its reality will overtake fear. We thank you, O God,
for the gift of love within us.
Amen.
If the ushers will come forward, and you as a congregation, will you please join me in our offertory prayer, which can be found on the screens in front of you. God of all good things, this morning, as we draw closer to the blessed birth, we remember Mary and how your blessings come to the world in the most unexpected ways and often through the most unprepared people. Give us eyes this day to see the wealth of ways you have blessed us and the opportunities you have placed before us to be an unexpected blessing to others. Use the gifts we bring to you this morning to bless those who need the good news the most. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who gave in love all there was to give us. Amen.
Thank you.
As we remain standing, let's join together in singing hymn number 217, Away in a Manger. Please be seated.
You've received many prayer requests throughout this week. I want to lift up some joys and concerns for you. I want to thank Carrie, Pamela, and Catherine for having the children prepared for today. They did a marvelous job, did they not? The children also went with us last Sunday afternoon as we caroled among the neighborhood. We had a grand time with those who returned with us as they caroled among the neighborhood and got very cold. The children also decorated the cookies that we had and the hot chocolate when everyone returned. This past Wednesday, our choir, instead of practicing here, went and caroled among the McKendree-Lambeth community with residents there, and we had a grand time, and we were not thrown out, which was good. And hopefully we'll be invited back. I also give joy and thanks to everyone who attended and helped us, especially Ann Doris and our Blue Christmas service on Friday night, where we gathered and remembered that for some of us, this isn't always a time of joy, but we remember those who we have lost and the other losses in our lives. So we give God the thanks for everyone who's had a hand in this Advent season in making it a wonderful time here at Rehoboth. I lift up to you also some concerns that have come across since our last email out. Patty Hansen's daughter Lisa was in the hospital recently, and just yesterday, she's having kidney stone problems. She is at home, but still having some difficulty. So, Patty, we're praying for you and for Lisa as they go through this week. Just lift up Patty and Lisa as well. Be in prayer for Bonnie Williamson as she begins treatment for lung cancer. Send out notes, cards, and hugs. Bonnie, we are walking with you, and God is with you. Wendy Sloan's foot surgery was successful on Friday. She is at home recovering. Please be in prayer for her and Dale and lifting up notes. Give her cards and notes and texts and hugs that way. Let us go to God in prayer. Breath of heaven, hold us together. Be forever near us, breath of heaven. Breath of heaven, lighten our darkness. Pour over us your holiness. For you are holy, breath of heaven. O holy God, in this time of waiting and watching, send your wind, your life force, the breath of heaven to us so that we may be fully ready to receive you once again, your advent. Breathe on us your ruach, that we may feel your mighty power, know your intentions for us, and experience your Holy Spirit emanating from you. It is through you that all things are placed into motion and all life is created. We praise you for the blessings of this life and lift our hearts to you in gratitude for the grace you have granted us. We humbly bow before you, seeking your mercy and asking for your guidance. We are confident in your love and strengthened by your favor. We are your children and you are our God. Breath of heaven, teach our hearts to be holy as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Well, I would like to start by reminding us of this journey that we have been on with Mary and Jesus. Mary's journey as the mother of a son who would become the Most High and would suffer death at the hands of the state for his subversive ministry. Last week, we talked about 12-year-old Jesus and how we can find ourselves limiting our search for God with our own expectations. And one of the conclusions that we made last week was that we can find Jesus in the most unexpected places. And so this week, we skip ahead to Gabriel's visit with Mary to let her know that she would be the one to bear the Christ child. And so let's go to the Gospel of Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Well, I imagine myself as Mary in this scripture being approached by someone that she may or may not have known to be of divine nature, who tells her that she will carry and give birth to a baby. And oh, by the way, that baby is going to be the Messiah. I cannot fathom the overwhelming feelings that she must have felt. The story says that Mary responds, "Here am I, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Though this response is often revered, as it should be, as a testament of Mary's faith, let us not ignore the somber shell that encapsulates it. I think about some folks who I've encountered who take everything that comes their way with an outward smile. They are agreeable, they appear to be happy, and in this situation, they might have responded, "You know, that is so crazy that you showed up, because last night I was just thinking that I totally wanted to be the mother of the God baby, and I was going to tell God that, and you just showed up, and it's wonderful and awesome and woohoo." That response is so bright, and it's so happy, and it's so tinged with this lack of genuineness that it might crumble if you tried to build a house on it. And so happiness and joy are often accepted as synonymous or interchangeable, but they aren't. And Mary might show us why if we give her the chance. This scripture doesn't give us a clue into her fears either, but last week we talked a little bit about expectations and surprises, about unexpected places to find Jesus, and about how the most unexpected place we might find Jesus is within us. And so for Mary, in this story, she discovers that Jesus is within her, literally. And so I want to talk a little bit about how this happens. There is this clue in verse 35, which says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Most High will overshadow you." We are told that this conception of the divine Christ child happens through the overshadowing of the Most High. This word, overshadow, in Greek, apeskiazo, more closely means to envelop in a shadow, meaning there isn't just a dark cloud overhead, but there's a dark cloud for as far as the eye can see. So we can assume that Mary wasn't struck with a beam of light. The scripture tells us that the conception of the Christ child, God's presence with Mary, happens in an overwhelming shadow. God's presence, indicated by darkness or dark clouds, is a concept found in the Hebrew scriptures as well as the Gospels. This form of the Almighty, God's active presence in any given moment, happens often with dark and vaporous movement. That concept may seem distant to us. When grief, brokenness, and sadness abound in our own lives, we might find ourselves asking where God is or why God isn't with us. In fact, it reminds me of a personal story. My first position out of college, I worked at a university coaching basketball and leading the Department of Residential Life. This experience was rampant with sexual assault and embezzlement and other criminal behavior that was displayed by the staff and the administration. The darkness became so overwhelming. And so a coworker and I created something called Dwell. This was based on a concept from Psalm 91, which says, "For those who dwell in the shelter or the shadow of the Almighty." So we found a room on campus that no one was using. We painted it, we decorated it, and realized that in doing so, we had created sort of like a spiritual bunker for ourselves and for our students, where we were able to meet weekly to feel safe and loved in the midst of external evil. And we weren't looking for anything other than a distraction, never expecting to find Jesus. But in a place that felt like the most literal version of hell imaginable, we somehow did. In the darkness, confusion, and brokenness that surrounded us, there was God. A God who could take all of our anger, and a God who could wrap Jesus' arms around us and make us feel safe. The abuse around us would not stop, and we were enveloped in this shadow. There were dark clouds as far as the eye could see, but still, we met each week in this innermost room. We felt the overwhelming weight of the absence of God on the outside and the overwhelming presence of God in our shadowy place. And I remember that almost causing us anger, because it felt like God was present but wasn't doing anything. And so when the scripture says that Mary is going to be enveloped by the shadow, I am more attuned to Mary's fear. Fear of what Joseph might think or do. Fear of an unwed pregnancy at such a young age. Her fear of simply becoming a mother. And also her fear of mothering the incarnation of God. What I would want to say to Mary and to us is that God is with us in the shadows, and God has been showing us this all along. In the act of creation, God separating the chaos, the tohu ivohu, the dark, chaotic waters. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the entire face of the deep. And with Moses on Mount Sinai, when he receives those 10 great commandments, the scripture says the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. And in the 97th Psalm, we read that clouds of thick darkness surround him, and righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Shadows have been used from the beginning of our story as a people of faith to denote God's presence. But we often have trouble sitting in those shadows. We crave distraction because it provides this momentary salve that keeps us from tearing away at our own brokenness. But God's presence in the shadows, it tells Mary something, and it tells us something. It will not eradicate your fear. It will not heal you of your uncertainty. It will not remove your grief, but you will find yourself enveloped in darkness. But if you just hold on, if you just hold on, there is a baby coming, and he will teach you about joy. And you will have to carry this baby, and he will be in the darkness of your womb. And he will come in the most unexpected place, and you will feel unprepared. You will be scared, and it will be dark. But he's going to be yours. And he will teach you about joy. And when you look upon him for the first time, you will understand why they will call him the light of the world. People will come from far and wide to see your precious gift. But even so, this baby will eventually find himself in the shadows of Golgotha. And the Gospel of Luke tells us that from noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And from there, he will be placed in a dark and shadowy tomb. But what they did not know was that it was a bright light of a shining star that identified his entrance into this world. And they did not realize, as the scripture tells us a little further down in Luke, that this child will cause the dawn to break upon us. And this baby came to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. The Greek word apeskiazo in our scripture means to envelop in a shadow. But apeskiazo is also used in the story of the Transfiguration, when Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain, and the scripture says that Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes were a dazzling white. And then a bright light, a peschiazzo, shone before them, and God said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." God's presence in the shadows should be implicitly understood, you see, because shadows, they don't exist without some kind of projected light. And God's presence in the light, well, that's joy. It's genuine. I've been through the hard stuff. I was turned away at the inn. I've been ill prepared. I've wept. I understand pain. I've had my heart broken. I've loved and I've lost. So I can't help but recognize when his face shines bright, when Jesus' face shines bright as the sun, because I've seen his face all along in the shadow. Jesus is present with us in the shadows and in the bright light. And there is a difference between mere happiness and pure joy. And for pure, unadulterated, deep joy, sometimes we have to be able to see the face of Jesus in the shadows. There is joy this Christmas. There is hope this Christmas. There is peace this Christmas in the shadows and in the bright light. A peschiazzo. Let's pray. God of the shadows and God of the light, though we may not always be able to see your light, may we keep hope in our hearts, Mary's hope. And may we say those courageous words, "Here am I, your servant. Let it be with me according to your word." May we hold on to our hope, but never stop looking for your face in the midst of pain and grief. May we remember that there is a baby coming who will bring us great joy and who will be known as the light of the world. We are waiting. In the name of the one who is to come. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 230, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Our altar is open. If you wish to come forward and pray, pray with Pat or Casey. They'll also be available after the service. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Let's stand and sing together hymn number 230, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Oh, you're this way.
It is with great joy, that today Sandy comes to make it official. Sandy's been worshiping with us for some time and has been talking with me for a long time. But Sandy comes today to put her faith roots with us. So, dear one, go ahead and cry. It's all right, because a lot of us are. That's communion. Wait a minute. Okay, let me go with this. Let me see what that. Go ahead, Terry. Is that what I have up there? Okay, sisters and brothers, through the sacrament of baptism, God's Spirit has been poured upon water, water poured over and immersed us, water that flows freely over all who will receive it. Water from the streams of God's saving power and justice, water that brings hope to all who thirst righteousness, water that refreshes life, nurtures growth, and offers new birth. Hang on. Page 12. Hang on a moment, talk among yourselves. Here we go. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? She does. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Hallelujah. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, with Christ, has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Church, will you nurture Sandy and Christ's holy church, that by your teaching example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If you will, say, I will. Will you?
Yes.
All right, amen. A couple more, sweetheart. As a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministry? As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministry by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your witness, and your service? Well, hallelujah, praise God. That's all I have to say. Amen and amen. Now, in a minute, Sandy, when we leave, you're going to go with us so we can do the huggy kissy thing out there. And she's going to stand with us. As you leave, you got to come and greet Sandy as always. What a great day.
To remain standing and receive this benediction, I have a little bit of a confession to make. I know I'm your pastor, but I have a tattoo. I don't know if you can see it. But that experience and awareness of seeing God in the shadow and seeing God in the darkest place, I was looking for a symbol and I came across this bird called the nightingale. And the reason it's called the nightingale is because it sings very loudly at night. And so this is such a representation of the God of the shadows. And so may you go from this place hearing the song of the sweet nightingale in your week. Hope to see you back here tomorrow. Amen.
For our congregational benediction, let's remain standing and sing Emmanuel, Emmanuel, which is hymn number 204 in your hymnal.
Peace.